Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. This is Dr. Joan Wadsworth talking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana. And I'd like to start a new series and going through the Bible, explaining how Jesus saves in every chapter of the Bible. And we're going to go chapter by chapter each day. Won't be long, 10, 15 minutes each day. So we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians 5 today. And I'd like to bring out some things in this chapter that explain how Jesus saves today and tomorrow and for eternity. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so let's begin at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin reading verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. As it was, as Jesus explained in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when he comes back. So, what kind of days were those? Well, they were marrying and giving marriage. They were eating and drinking. Everything was just going as normal, as it was the day before and the day before and the day before. And the people that were not aware thought, well, just keep on going like this. We can count on this. Well, it tells us here that the times and the seasons were like that time as Noah's day, where only 8 were saved. And there was about 1 billion people on the planet when the flood came and God judged it and destroyed everybody but Noah, because he found grace in the eyes of God. And so, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So what we have, the contrast here, is a believer and an unbeliever. To the believer, he sees it coming. God, the Holy Spirit, shines a bright light on the return of Jesus Christ. And that, but the people that don't believe in Christ, they're in darkness. They don't see it. They don't see it. And the time will be like, and Paul uses an example of a woman pregnant is going to give birth to a child. Now, they have they say, well, it's going to be 9 months and it's going to be roughly this, that, and the other time. They can give not an exact time for the baby to be born. So, but the woman is expecting it to happen. And as that period approaches, there's symptoms that she knows that her baby is growing, that things of her temperature, or what herself, how everything is going with her body, so that she knows that it could be at any time. And but she knows it's going to happen. And she's not blind to this. She's not ignorant to this. She's aware of it. And so, so is the believer. Jesus, they know that Jesus is going to save them. And they know, they can see by the indications of what's going on and the time that it could be. It's getting closer to that time. So we're not in darkness as the world. The world has got a clue. If you look at the news is saying, hey, well, this is happening, that's happening, we got to fix this. The climate change, the economy, inflation, sec, whatever, the COVID, something's always going to be there that this world is going to try and fix and for a better world. But this world is winding down real quickly. And so he's telling us this there. In verse 5, he says, ye are all children of light and the children of the day and are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. So that's the believer. This is the salvation of Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. When you trusted in Christ, you entered into the family of God. You entered into the salvation that God provided when he died on the cross and he resurrected from the dead for your sin and my sin. And he proved it, and he lives today in heaven taking care of us. And he saves us a lot of times every day. And so we have that, and we had that. The worst thing that could happen to us is that we die and then we go to heaven. And that's about, you know, that's as bad as it gets, and that's pretty doggone good. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going through wrath. This world is going through wrath. Just like when in Noah's day, when Noah was saved by the grace of God and his family, but the rest of the world, 1 billion people approximately, died. And the animals died. And all living things died by God's judgment because of sin. And let me tell you something. It ain't no different now. It ain't no different now. It's going to be God's judgment on this earth. But we are not appointed to wrath as a believer. And we ought to be thanking Jesus Christ who did this for us. He loved us enough to do it for us. It was appointed unto him, and he was the only one that could do it for us. But he willfully, willingly went to the cross, despising the shame for us. And he has not appointed us to wrath. So he's going to take us out of this world, and we're not going to be a part of any wrath that's going to be on this world because of sin. It says there in verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Isn't that a promise? Isn't that a lovely Savior? Whether we die, we wake, or asleep, he's going to take care of us. He's with us. Every walk of your life, he's with you. He's there. He's concerned about you. Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also do ye do. In other words, encourage one of us. Hey, we're not appointed unto wrath. Yeah, it looks bleak for the lost. It looks bleak for the unbeliever. And the one that's trying to save themselves, it looks real bad, but not for us. And we need to encourage everyone. We need to be speaking that up at work, at the store, wherever. Okay, and it says, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. In other words, those that feed you spiritually, encourage them. Look up to them and their word, and if it means if they provide you appreciate their help, show it to them by cooking a meal for them, providing some you could offer them a little compensation, whatever it might be. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And that's something we need to do. Be patient toward all men. Help the feeble-minded. And you're seeing a lot more of this as we go through this world. The handicap, the people with birth defects, and the people in their lives, they're becoming less and less of a quality of life. And that's because of sin and man's thinking about sin. You look at this COVID thing and the science, how they're lying, how the medical community, the ones that you look to for your doctors and everything else, they don't know even what's going on. And I think they're hiding some of the truth about these vaccines and everything. It's just a less quality of life all around on this earth because they're trying to save it, whereas Jesus has taken us out of this world, and we know that it's not going to be saved. There's judgment coming on this earth, and that's why the quality of life and the climate change and the environment and everything else is becoming less and less. So, verse 16, rejoice evermore. See that? Rejoice evermore. Even though this is happening, rejoice evermore. Because Jesus is taking us out of this. He's saving us from this. And we can have peace. We should have peace in our heart. Pray without ceasing. That's something we need to do. You've got loved ones that have not been saved or they're still worried. You need to pray for them. Pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. Talk to the Lord continuously. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for you. Be thankful for it. Give thanks, as he says. In everything give thanks. Verse 18, give thanks. Because this is God's will for you. Give thanks for that. You're not going to go through the wrath. You can see it coming. You're not blind to it. You're not trying to hide from it or run from it or just take drugs or whatever else because you see. No, you see it and you know what's happening. That's God's will for you, and you rejoice in it. And you're praying for others and praying for yourself and staying close to the Lord. Despise not prophesying. But you see, when you hear, when you are aware or you hear a preacher or a teacher or someone explain things to you and you understand them better, despise it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't say, oh, I don't want to hear that. Hear it. Don't be like the ones that preachers that were just wanted to would go to where somebody's going to itch, scratch your ear. Verse 20, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove it. Don't just believe it. Prove it. Then believe it. That's right. That's why God gave you doubt. That's why you have doubt. That's why you're suspicious. That's why you can judge. That's why you can scrutinize. And then hold fast to those things that, after you prove them, are good. Amen. Boy, old Satan's out there. He dresses himself like an angel of light, but he's an angel of death, darkness. 90 seconds. Okay, prove all things, hold fast. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God bless you. If I can help you in any way, if you got any questions or comments, you can contact me by email, wsm217@gmail.com. Also, we're on Facebook at Whitestone Ministries. So like us there. God bless you.